You're listening to the K-State Radio Network and Agriculture Today. Welcome once again. And in studio this time around to share his latest perceptions on the grain market trends is Research and Extension grain market economist Dan O'Brien. Well, Dan, you've been talking with students about the markets while you're here on the campus this week. And when we take a look at the corn and grain sorghum markets to start with here, there's still lots of pondering about what's happening with the harvests, respectively.
Yes, of course, we're still dealing with the information that came out of the October 12th USDA crop production WASDE reports, and the production number came in at about 14.3 billion bushels. So that was perceived by the market to just continue to push us towards a large supply scenario. In fact, we haven't seen the markets move in a lot of directions. They've kind of been fading off. And we're in the midst of a harvest of very good success. Still wondering exactly what our final numbers are. We do have yet the November crop production report, and there'll be the final report in January where changes could come in. You know, Eric, I don't want to just be an obsessed questioner of USDA numbers. I think I'm becoming that. But when you do look at the likelihood of outcomes. So here we have a USDA yield number about 170, 171, something like that for bushels. Here within the last day or so, you've got farmer surveys coming in talking about what farmers are telling some of the large ag marketing groups what they have, and reports from the field closer to 167, 168. So it just gives pause for reflection. Just how accurate have the October forecasts been?
You've actually looked into that in your notes this week.
And when you look at the accuracy of October 1 USDA forecast for U.S. corn yields from 2000 on, out of the 17 years that you'd be looking at there from year 2000 through 2016, eight of those years, the USDA eventually lowered the yield. And in seven of those years, they lowered it not by just a half a bushel, but by 1 to 4 bushels. So there's still risk that could happen. So why bring this up? Because if we find ourselves out in November or January and suddenly we come in with a 167, 168, even a 169 right now, something like that, and it shaves 100 to 400 million bushels off, then you'd expect the markets would have some type of a response positively to that. You'd be addressing to some degree the supply-demand balance issues. And if not immediately, probably more so towards the end of winter, spring timeframe, when you very likely would see good solid usage at low prices come in and start to shave down these projections we have now for stocks to use for the corn market. So, you know, if you're looking at a 13.8, 13.9 billion bushel corn crop instead of 14.3, well, that's 400, 500 million bushel differential, and you're at 12, 13% stocks to use instead of the 15, 16 we're at now. And so really the question would be, well, how much of an impact could it have on corn prices? Right now, the USDA is projecting 320. You're probably talking overall for the marketing year a difference of 20 to 30 or 40 cents per bushel. What it would do, though, is that, you know, during the month when those reports would come out, when any adjustments would happen, you'd see the market probably respond. And at that time, if people are storing grain, which at low harvest time prices they probably are going to be, then there's a possibility of prices moving to the positive side. Of course, we talk about this and get people's hopes up, and then if it doesn't happen, then we probably have tractorcades coming to Manhattan. But I think there's that risk there, and the track record of forecasts is that way. Now, if you look at the track record of forecasts for soybeans, far different picture. In fact, if anything, the USDA since 2000 has a strong track record of, in the October report, of underestimating soybean yields. Big issue with soybeans right now isn't so much what our final yields will be, but the challenges they're seeing down in South America in getting the crop in, et cetera. I've read some analysis that talks about how, to the degree dry conditions down there delay soybean plantings, then it doesn't just affect the soybean crop, it affects that second corn crop that would be planted after this crop is harvested. You know, if you have some reduction in acres and whatever weather problems may or may not come, but say if they do, then the U.S. ends up in a better position corn export wise, and we'd see an improvement. Right now, on the supply demand balance sheet for corn, the weakest spot is their export number. Again, we export about 2.3 billion bushels this year. They're projecting that down to 1.85. And really everything else, whether it's feed residual use, ethanol usage, all at pretty strong, if not record levels. But the weak spot right now is that export number. And really the 1.85 billion bushels relative to where we've been is just sort of to me, it looks like it's a shot out there saying, well, we really don't know yet. Mm-hmm. So we'll put a moderate number out. You know, so we've got two things to watch. The possibility of yields still being projected lower sometime, if not November report, probably January report. And also the possibility of at least seeing what's happening in South America and, I guess, weighing the possibility of them having a shorter crop than usual. But that's really indicative of where we're at right now. You know, we're into harvest lows. Surprised in a way we haven't dropped further on the futures. A basis in a lot of places still holding up decently. By the time you and I would say, well, gosh, I think it's a harvest low, then it'd for sure go lower. But we've been holding up decently. It's good, decent demand. And frankly, and for corn, grain, sorghum, and soybeans, even with trucks starting to roll, I think as we see people putting fall harvested crops into storage, our issue right now is to try to gauge what the possibilities are for returns to storage from these other supply demand challenges and opportunities that we see coming in the next 6 to 9 months.
Once more, like you said, the USDA has a penchant for bumping up that soybean yield as it goes from report to report deeper into the latter part of the year. So if that does materialize, as has historically been the case, what would this suggest for soybean prices ahead? Does it put a damper on potential marketing opportunities for producers? What?
So you ask me a question, I'm going to come back with a generalized answer, Eric. Okay. I've seen some good analysis talking about how, yes, we have large stocks, 430 some million bushels projected for the end of this 17-18 marketing year for U.S. soybeans, but they've tightened up down in parts of South America, particularly Brazil. So Brazilian stocks and U.S. stocks are going in different directions. Right now, if the USDA would bump up yields more, we'd end up with a crop of 4.4, 4.5. Then all else being equal, we'd take the ending stocks number up, you know, closer to, instead of 430 million, back to 460 or even higher. And it would affect us to some degree. And prices here, the cash price bids in Salina, basically, $8.94 on Wednesday, at in the West, $8.79 near Garden City. Again, and that's off of futures about $9.84. So from $90 to $1.10 under for basis bids for soybeans. So USDA raises that number. Well, you know, we're still way above the loan rate, down at 501 or right around $5. So we could weaken, 20, 30, 40 cents. Really, the big apple in terms of what's happening in soybeans is this uncertainty we're seeing now in South America. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, if we bumped, given the concerns we've got right now, I think we would probably have an immediate response for a little bit, and then everybody in about half a day would turn attention back to weather forecasts in Brazil. You know, and that would drive the market.
Want to give a nod before we let you get away to the wheat market, and there is this recurring question about winter wheat planting and how much progress is being made given the significant delays, not only here in Kansas, but other parts of the Central Plains, and that's still to be clarified, Dan.
Yes, there was great concern last week with the crop insurance deadline approaching in those Northwest counties on October the 15th. They have about wheat being seeded, and one advantage of having your office out in Colby is that it's all around you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of wheat planted the last several nice days. Even with the percentage reductions that they were seeing in insurance coverage that would happen from planting after that October 15th deadline.
They're going to absorb that then, basically.
Yeah, well, yeah, it would fit their cropping system. And, you know, they've got moisture, et cetera. They're still around the rest of the state, issues still to be wrestled with. If we had the same amount of wheat acres next year as we have this year in Kansas, probably be a surprise to people, given the profitability issues and storage and piles around the country. 5%, something like that, lower. I guess we'll just have to see. We've got full soil profiles now. Mm-hmm. And what will farmers do with full soil profiles in those cropping systems with an eye towards the possibility of planting crops out in the spring? We'll see what they do.
For the reality of it is the world is still burdened with copious supplies of wheat.
And when you look at the world supply-demand balance sheet, the only balance sheet that's growing significantly right now still in terms of ending stocks is wheat. Actually, we're seeing the feed grains and really the, even with the U.S. increase, the world soybean numbers actually going downward. So the one crop that's bearing the burden right now of these great 4 or 5 years in a row is the wheat crop.
Dan, always a pleasure, and we'd remind you, producers, you can have a look at Dan's updated notes on the grain markets regularly on the agmanager.info website, agmanager.info. Good to have you Mike's side, Dan. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, Eric. Take care.
He's Dan O'Brien, grain market economist with K-State Research and Extension. And we'll be back on Agriculture Today after this over the K-State Radio Network.